Husker Doc Talk Podcast, presented by the Remington Trophy, 2019, Episode 2. We promise, and when we make promises, we try like hell to keep them. So here we are doing a Husker Doc Talk Podcast presented by the Remington Trophy before the end of January. That makes two this month, and there's no football season going.
Dude, we're going well in the NFL still. We've still got a Super Bowl.
That's true, but we're not even going to talk about the Super Bowl.
Did you watch the Pro Bowl?
You know what? I honestly said this on my radio show on 1460 KXNO in Des Moines, which you can find on the iHeartRadio app if you guys ever want to listen to me on the radio, that I don't think I've watched a Pro Bowl in a long time. I can't remember the last Pro Bowl I watched.
I have never. I mean, I've watched. I mean, I've caught at channel surfing and watched one or two plays. Outside of that, I have never, ever sat down and watched a Pro Bowl.
Yeah, it's just not interesting to me. I think the skills competition is kind of fun. I mean, to see those guys do that. But
yeah, that one's kind of interesting. But, I mean, that's kind of like the old ABC Wide World of Sports.
You know, the old Battle of the Superstars or Battle of the Network
exactly.
Stars?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's just, I don't know. That doesn't hugely interest me. And the Pro Bowl itself absolutely doesn't, which is why they put it the week before the Super Bowl.
But do you remember
the hope that you catch more fans and get more viewers?
I mean, when we were growing up and just a couple of years ago, it was after the Super Bowl.
And yeah, like, it was always at the very end, and it was always
in Hawaii.
Yeah, they always played it in Hawaii. And yeah, now it's one of those things where, they ended up, literally making the decision, we're going to exclude players from the two Super Bowl teams, which usually have more than a couple Pro Bowlers on them.
Yeah, you could say that.
And we're going to move it before the Super Bowl purely to get more viewers. That's how sad the viewership is.
I just want you to know, I have now talked more in the last 1 minute about the Pro Bowl than I have watched Pro Bowl action.
All right,
in
let's
the last
move
10
on.
Years. He's Dr. Rob Zadisk. I'm Travis Justice. Good to have you along for a special edition of the Husker Doc Talk Podcast presented by the Remington Trophy. If you found it here on Husker Max, thank you for going to Husker Max on a daily basis. Of course, HuskerMax.com is where you can get your Husker news 24/7, 365. You're probably wondering, well, you know, recruiting, the February recruiting week is, a ways away. Spring football is a ways away. So why are we recording tonight? Well, Rob and I like to get together and just talk and see each other. But it really started.
Might drink a beer once in a while.
Yeah, you might drink a beer once in a while. By the way, we're recording this on Monday night, and it's colder than shit outside.
It is not warm.
Was your car, say, below zero yet, or was it close?
It just wasn't even registering.
Yeah, it's not good. But the a subject that came up a week ago for reference of when we were recording is the issue of medical marijuana. And, of course, there are a lot of people in the state of Nebraska who would like to see the medical use of marijuana for cancer patients, for people who have seizures, chronic pain, all sorts of ailments that they believe cannabis and cannabis oil or even smoking pot could be good for. And why it became more of a sports issue is because former Nebraska coach Tom Osborne decided to get in front of the cameras, do a press conference, and come out against medical marijuana, which a lot of people, say, hey, I love you, coach, but I disagree with you on this one. That was pretty much a lot of the things I've seen. But I thought, you know what? You know, Dr. Rob is a medical doctor, and who better to have a conversation with about medical marijuana than a medical doctor? I know Dr. Tom Osborne is a doctor, but he's not a medical doctor. He's an education doctor. He's a PhD. Dr. Rob is an MD. Now, Dr. Rob, in the next 45 minutes to an hour, I don't expect you to rip Dr. Tom Osborne.
Hate the man.
But I have, and I really, we haven't had this conversation too much, but medical marijuana, yay or nay? I'll just ask you, yay or nay?
I think it's something that does need to happen. Now, like a lot of things, I do have reservations about it. So don't think this is let's just start handing it out wholesale. And there's so many angles here to cover. And I'm going to try and touch on a good handful of them so people understand at least where I'm coming from and where I think a lot of physicians come from. I think you have some people who in the medical community are very much against it. I think you've got some people who are wholeheartedly for it. Then you've got people all along the spectrum in between those two. And I think I'm on that spectrum where I don't think I'm sitting here pounding the table with both fists saying, yes, legalize it now. But at the same time, I think I'm close enough to that where I can say I think it's something that does need to be investigated and on at least some level implemented to a degree. Now, here's where I think there's some caveats that you got to throw in there. Is it safe? Now, yeah, I mean, within a reasonable degree it is. You and I were cracking jokes about all the people who've died from marijuana overdoses, and there's not a lot.
It's like zero.
Yeah, it's... Now, that doesn't mean marijuana. You can...
I mean, when you smoke it, you can still get the same effects like a cigarette, but you don't OD from pot.
No, but it can't. There can be some things like nausea, excessive drowsiness, loss of attention, things
munchies.
Like that. Exactly. I would highly recommend people smoking pot or...
Have you ever smoked pot?
I have never, ever smoked pot.
I've smoked pot twice in my life. I didn't smoke pot till the first time until I was like 32, 33, and it did nothing for me. Then I thought, well, maybe you got to learn to get high. So I did it again.
You got to learn to get high.
Well, I mean, I always heard that. Well, maybe you got to learn to get high. And then I did it again when I was like, I don't know, 35, and it did absolutely nothing for me. So I've smoked pot twice in my life, and it did nothing for me.
Yeah, I mean, I've been at enough concerts here and there where somebody lights up and you get sort of that burned peanut butter.
Now, I've done an
smell,
edible and that kicked my ass. You ever done an edible?
I have never consumed pot in any way, shape, or form.
So I'll tell you this story before you get back into here. So I had a buddy of mine give me a couple edibles. He's like, oh, only do a half. So I'm like, all right. So I did a half and I'm like, it did nothing. It did absolutely nothing to me. So
much time did you give it?
I gave it the whole time. So I didn't do anything after that. So I had one full one left, and I waited about a week or two, and I'm like, I was home by myself. I'm like, I'm going to pop this whole edible and see what happens. And I like, I couldn't talk. I was like, I literally went paralyzed. I remember laying on the couch, and the wife and kids come home. We're like, what are you doing? I go, I can't move. And they're looking at me like, and she's like, what's wrong? I go, I had the edible. I can't move. And I was like just frozen in time.
See, pot, you stroked out.
It kind of felt like it.
Had a bad trip.
That was the Jolly Rancher edible that I've had. And since then, no cannabis, no THC, no
nothing,
pot, nothing, nothing.
Because it paralyzes people. So anyway, and I guess, like I said, I mean, it's something that I think, keep in mind here when we're talking about treatments. And now, I will fully admit, I think there is an entire spectrum of ailments and conditions for which marijuana, whether it's smoking it or using the cannabinoids, cannabis oil, things like that, I'm probably butchering the terminology here, where it probably has some very therapeutic effects, may have some very profoundly therapeutic effects. I know it does. The question is that, you know, you've had people who smoked it for extended periods of time. Nobody's done a lot of long-term studies on, well, maybe this does have some long-term bad effects. Nobody's done a study to find that out, because I think you don't take something that's potentially harmful and do a study with it if you think it's probably potentially harmful. And keep in mind, most medical treatments, you know, as a general rule, not everything is good for you 100%. I mean, a lot of medical treatments, a lot of medications, I mean, it seems like, and this is purely anecdotal for me, they're kind of all like 80 to 90% good and about 10 to 20% bad. Stuff has side effects. You take an aspirin, prevents blood clots, keeps you from having a stroke. But if you fall down and hit your head, you're going to end up with a big brain bleed. I mean, there's different. Any medication can have these potential side effects, and we don't have good numbers on side effects, complications, interactions with other medications that the marijuana products can potentially have, and therein lies the problem, is because we haven't been using them in a controlled and regulated manner. Now, that's the other thing is everybody, hold on a second, I got one last point to make here, is that everybody's talking about like, well, no. It's not like if we legalize medical marijuana, we're just going to be handing it out to people left and right to smoke. It'll be highly regulated. It'll be controlled. It'll have physician oversight. It'll have government oversight. Well, you know, putting physicians and government in control over stuff, sometimes that doesn't work well. Now, you look at the corollary to all of this, and it kind of goes hand in hand as the whole opioid crisis.
I was gonna get into that.
And that's, you know, when you look at that from a numerical standpoint, you have roughly, so let's take street heroin. Let's take your raw, unprocessed street drug form of narcotics, and that's heroin. You have a little over 10,000 heroin overdoses a year in the United States. That's a lot of people.
That's a lot of people.
Guess how many prescription narcotic overdoses there are in the United States.
So we're talking your Vicodin, your Oxycontin, your
hydrocodone. Pill form of morphine.
How many overdose deaths?
Overdose deaths.
I'll say, well, because, you know, it's only prescribed, I'm going to say 5,000.
It's a little over 20,000 people.
Holy shit,
Rob. It doubles the heroin deaths. So when you look at something and you hear the argument that, well, no, medical marijuana is going to, it'll be fine. We got physician oversight and government regulations. This is going to be well controlled. Okay, just because there's physician oversight and government regulation doesn't mean bad things can't still happen.
Yeah, but you can't OD from pot.
No, and I understand that. I'm just saying there's always going to be a little bit of an unknown here. And there may be some detrimental effects from this. And we may not know those until we get. We got to go full Nancy Pelosi here. We got to pass the bill to find out what's in it. But I do think there's a lot of people who very much could be helped by it. And I think I'm not saying never do it. I do think at some point it needs to happen. But I also think there does need to be some degree of oversight. Now, I know I'm kind of saying, hey, oversight doesn't always work out, and it doesn't. I'm just saying don't use government and physician oversight as the sole logic that this will be okay.
You know, I think what you'll hear is, well, pot is the gateway, a gateway drug. And my argument to that would be this. Is that I've smoked pot, right? I smoked pot twice. I did an edible. It didn't lead me to do anything else. Wouldn't you say that?
But if you were taking it from a medical standpoint, you'd be using it on a regular basis.
That's true. But wouldn't you say that most of those people have an addictive personality anyway? There's some kind of addictive property.
Oh, you mean people whom it's a gateway drug already have an addictive personality? Yeah. I would probably say yes to a degree, but at the same time, I think there's a lot of people out there who have an addictive personality far more than even they themselves.
But it doesn't have to be
realize.
Drugs. It can be alcohol. It can be sex. It can be
exactly. And you know the other argument that gets thrown out there oftentimes is, well, look at alcohol. I mean, if you treated alcohol. If alcohol had to undergo the same FDA process to get approved that any other medication would, alcohol would never get approved.
So I'm drinking a Stella right now, and there would be many people who are on the side of medical marijuana that would say, this is a lot more dangerous, what I'm drinking, a lot more harmful to my body than medical marijuana.
Historically, now, a lot of it's just because of sheer volume and numbers, there's more people drinking alcohol than smoking marijuana. And for the last X hundreds of years of human civilization, since people started drinking alcohol, you got a lot more volume. But absolutely, hands down, alcohol has been easily one of the biggest. From a drug standpoint, I would argue alcohol probably is the most detrimental drug in society.
Repeat that again. Just so everybody
I would say, historically, when you look at it, alcohol is probably the most detrimental drug in society. When you look at drugs of abuse, I would probably put alcohol right up there. Now, I'm sure somebody who's sitting there who has a family member who's had a life destroyed by methamphetamine, cocaine, I don't know, prescription narcotics, might disagree with me. But in terms of long-term health problems, accidents, traumas, motor vehicle deaths, I think what is the little over 30,000 motor vehicle deaths in the United States every year. I can't give you what proportion of those are alcohol-related, but it's a fairly large proportion of those are alcohol-related. I would be willing to bet that a fairly large proportion of, and I'm not saying the majority, but a large proportion of all motor vehicle accidents are alcohol-related. When I worked covering in an emergency room, you know, I'd be willing to bet that the vast majority of my 8 p.m. to 6 a.m. calls to the ER were related to alcohol. I mean, if you could have just removed that, oh my God, I would have gotten so much more sleep when I was working overnights. It has some incredibly toxic effects. It's a carcinogen. It's liver toxic. I mean, any bad thing you could say about marijuana, alcohol's right there. It's a strong depressant. It destroys motivation. And
I know that weed is legal recreationally in some states, but it's also used for medical purposes in 33 states in the District of Columbia.
A lot of the thing is as well that I think people don't have a good understanding of is that they think that if medical marijuana gets passed, you're just wholesale being handed a dime bag. And I don't think that's the case. No, I think a lot of it tends to be some of these non-THC containing cannabis oils is what actually gets used from a medical marijuana standpoint. And so it probably does have an incredibly much lower addictive potential. And a lot of those, hey, this is going to get you high, effects just really aren't there compared to the stronger THC-containing compounds.
And we're not talking here about, I think what people have to separate, I think this is hard for people because they think it's going to be a gateway to recreation. We're not talking about Randy Gregory getting high here. We're not talking about Ricky Williams getting high here. What we're talking about are cancer patients who, I guarantee you, the cannabis oil, the weed they smoke is better for their body than the chemotherapy they're putting through their veins.
I hate saying lifesaver for a potentially terminal patient, but it's something that can raise a lot of people to a level of functioning that they didn't have before. Pain control without needing the narcotic painkillers, which we already discussed the potential dangers of. I think there's a lot of good that it can do, and I think a lot of it's that fear that if somebody has access to medical marijuana, it's all the unknowns. Could other people in the family start using it as well, too? Could it? Are there some side effects, et cetera, other effects that just aren't studied very well that, you know, we're not going to find out till we get 20 years down the road and look at everybody who's used medical marijuana to see how it pans out?
Well, let's talk about football, too, because, you know, you, fortunate or fortunate enough, got out of the game fairly early. Would you have a 5-year career in the National Football League? But some of these guys in...
There's some guys that are just physical train wrecks from
physical
pain
control and their headaches are nonstop. I mean, to me, I'm like, so if you're wondering where I fall on the spectrum, I'm probably more of a libertarian than I am a Republican or Democrat. I'm like, you know what? If you're in the privacy of your own home, you're not hurting anybody. I don't care what you do. I really don't.
And I tend to think that way to a fairly strong degree on a lot of issues.
You know, if you want to grow 6 plants, smoke your bud, I'm cool with that. But I look and you hear a lot of football players come out now saying, listen, my headaches go away when I'm able to smoke a little weed. And how do you argue with it? I mean, if it works for them, how do you argue with that?
I really don't have an argument against it, but that's also why I said if you asked me, am I more for this or against this, I'm probably more for it.
So what did you have any issue with what Coach Osborne said the other day? You listened to his entire press conference.
I didn't, but I think also he's kind of looking at the people he knows who used marijuana, which was the, in his words, the 2, 3, 4 guys a year that would test positive. And he saw them, I mean, he touched on everything, lack of motivation, potential. He said, I mean, you do see some people for whom it is a gateway drug.
Listen, there are stereotypes for a reason. Like Pineapple Express, yeah. The movie, I mean.
No, and I get it. In what you said, you mentioned Randy Gregory.
Yeah. The dude likes to smoke pot.
Yeah, that's who Coach Osborne's experience is more geared towards those guys. It's not the guy who's fighting cancer. It's not the kid who's having seizures. It's not the former player that has incredible pain control issues and early CTE, and that's why they're smoking it. So the point of reference that he used from a medical marijuana standpoint, I'm not sure was very accurate. I don't think it was. Now, at the same time, too, you can say, well, it's Coach Osborne. Well, it's also former Congressman Osborne. You got a politician here saying it, too, and he was a politician. And so here's the other thing also. I think we also live in a society where we live in an outrage society. Somebody says something, and it's, oh, my gosh, I disagree with this. You and I can no longer be friends.
And I'm sitting here going,
okay, even if I disagree with Coach Osborne about this, it doesn't mean he wasn't a great football coach. It doesn't mean he's no longer a great person. I think Osborne did some incredibly good things for this state, and something he says about medical marijuana, even though I may disagree with that, doesn't negate those things. But there's things that several people said that day in that press conference, ranging from Governor Ricketts down through Osborne, the representatives from the Department of Health and Human Services, so on and so forth.
And being wrong doesn't mean you didn't have the best intentions.
Yeah, no, exactly. I think he has best of intentions, and I think he spoke up and actually asked to speak. And he very much said, he goes, hey, they did not ask me here to speak. I volunteered myself to speak to just kind of state my position on this because he said, I've got feelings on this, and they're fairly strong feelings, and I kind of wanted to make them known. All right, hey, knock yourself out. Guess what? I say this literally and figuratively, red-blooded Husker fan in the state, even if you strongly disagree with Tom Osborne, doesn't mean you got to now hate the guy and basically forget about everything else he did from a football standpoint.
Have you had any former teammates, college or pro, ask your advice on this, who have had headaches, who have had this, have come to say, Rob, I'm thinking about doing this. What do you think?
I really don't think. I mean, I've had a lot of medical questions from guys,
yeah.
And some of it's touched on some of the narcotic painkillers. I've never had anybody ask me about medical marijuana.
Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, maybe I'm going to get some after this podcast, but I, you know, for the most part, I think for a lot of people, it's kind of a private thing, and if they've got a little bit of access to it, they're going to use that access.
Trust me, everybody has access to it.
Oh yeah, I hold. That's my point.
Everybody knows a guy, right?
That's my point. Is that hey, if they see the need for it and feel that it does something good for them, they're probably going to use it. And hey, more power to you if it gives you a beneficial effect. Who am I to say you shouldn't be doing that? And again, like I said, from a danger to society standpoint, from a historical standpoint, alcohol's been a far, far worse scourge on society than marijuana has probably ever and probably ever will be.
So I'm going to ask you a question. If I've overstepped my bounds, tell me, because I didn't warn you this.
What, you, Travis? No.
Your father just passed away from cancer.
Correct.
Was he in a lot of pain?
He really wasn't.
Okay, so I was going to ask, was it ever discussed?
It wasn't, and at least in his case, it was a very fast-moving process. And we had and he was on some narcotic painkillers, but it was, had a great hospice crew down in Lincoln where he was at, and they did a wonderful job managing his pain, but it hadn't, like I said, he had a very quick decline. They did a good job managing the pain, and so when it goes fast like that, you almost don't have a chance for a lot of that pain to ramp up. So it was something that honestly wasn't discussed because it was never an option because it kind of progressed so quickly.
Would your dad been the type to try it?
Boy, he didn't even drink much.
Yeah, but he did smoke cigarettes for how many years?
He did, probably 50 years. And he quit smoking about a decade and a half ago. I don't know. I mean, I have been surprised by people before. I've been surprised by people close to me before. So,
I know what you're saying there.
Yeah, I would have said, I mean, on my gut check response would be like, oh, man, I just couldn't see him even remotely trying. Keep in mind, well, you got a guy who was living and working on college campuses in the 60s and 70s, so it's not like...
He didn't see it or smell it.
Yeah, so it was always around. But yeah, he definitely hung a little more on the conservative side, and it would not be something... I mean, if he had a physician who told him, hey, here's the thing, we're really having trouble treating this bone pain from the cancer, from where the cancer spread, the narcotics aren't cutting it, and they're not, I mean, you're having a lot of side effects from the narcotics. I think you should consider this recently legalized medical marijuana product. I think in that setting, he'd be like, oh, shit. Okay, yeah, let's give it a try.
You bring up a very good point, and that is some people may not be inclined to try it unless a doctor told them to. Do you think there are doctors here in Nebraska that are saying, hey, I can't tell you this, but I'm going to tell you this?
I would imagine.
Is that illegal, unethical? What is that? If it's not a legal drug, if you have a doctor say, listen, I can't prescribe this, I can't even recommend it, but if you were to try this, you might get some relief.
It would not surprise me if people had. I would actually have to look and see, because, I mean, you're basically telling somebody to go use something in this state that's currently illegal.
Yeah. And
now
I would think there'd be some malpractice.
The medical legal ramifications of telling a patient, hey, you can't use it here, but if you drive to Colorado, it is legal there, and you can get it there, and it might provide you some degree of relief. I believe that would be within a physician's bounds to say.
So when it comes to medical marijuana, and I know what people are scared of the recreational, even if it went recreational, my question is, what are people really that scared of? I mean, to me, when I had my surgery, when I just had my umbilical hernia fixed, they sent me home with some Vicodin. I refused to take it because I just didn't want it. And every time I've been to a surgery, and my gallbladder, Vicodin, I didn't want it. Because I know I know what can happen with it. To me, even if you went recreational, but we're not talking that, we're talking medical, what's the worst that can happen? It can't be any worse.
I think it's the unknown is part of what scares people. So you've got a handful of things going on here. One, from a medical standpoint, a science standpoint, there is a degree of unknown. Now, I got plenty of people I know who are sitting here going like, no, we totally know. We've been
been baking since we were in high school.
Exactly. I mean, we've been smoking this stuff for decades, literally. I mean, it's so. I get it. That does, but at the same time, too, there are some adverse effects to marijuana. There's some. I mean, it does. It kills motivation. You do see a decrease in, I mean, if you do measured intelligence levels, aptitude testing, things like that.
I will
like
tell you,
that,
some of the smartest dudes I knew were pot smokers because I think they were bored in high school. I really do.
I do not deny that. But you do see a decrease in aptitude. You see a decrease in, it's a depressant. You see a decrease in response time. If somebody's driving while high on marijuana, that's probably not a good thing. Don't operate heavy machinery while high on marijuana. That's not a good thing. I don't have my Rob's medical textbook of controlled substances sitting here in front of me, so I can't rattle off everything. But it's that there are some adverse effects. Now, like I said, I throw the caveat in there. A lot of medical treatments and medications have adverse effects. Alcohol has adverse effects.
I'm going to read this. What does this sound like? Side effects include mood swings, weight gain, suicidal thoughts, anger, anxiety, diarrhea, nightmares. What do you think that is?
That's opioids.
Well, that's Chantix to help you stop smoking.
Okay, well, and that's the thing. Any drug is going to have some pretty impressive list of side effects. Any drug.
Anytime you hear the word anal leakage come out for a diabetes drug, you're
very,
like,
that's best avoided.
Yeah.
But yeah, any drug, you pull up any drug, it'll have a list of side effects. You know, it's interesting because one of the oldest drugs in Western medicine, and it didn't even start in Western medicine, but is aspirin. And it's acetyl salicylic acid. And it's a derivative from a type of willow bark.
Really?
Yeah, you saw a lot of indigenous peoples would take types of willow bark and basically make sort of a tea or drink from it for headaches and other pain. It was basically pulling aspirin out of it. But anyway, aspirin's been around for, I couldn't tell you how long, 100, 150 years. Aspirin, it's kind of a lore in medicine that aspirin never really went through the whole FDA approval process because it was around so long. It's one of the oldest drugs out there. There's a lot of lore that says that if aspirin ended up having to go through the FDA approval process, it probably would never make it.
Really?
Yeah.
Why is that?
A lot of it...
supposed to, if I'm having a heart attack, they make me chew on an aspirin.
Yeah, that's because it decreases platelet function, so that clot that's blocking the artery in your heart doesn't get any bigger. But for that same reason, too, it increases bleeding tendency. So people that can have it can suffer internal bleeding, brain bleeds, higher risk of hemorrhagic stroke, epidural, subdural hematomas, increased bruising. At the same time, it's in a class of medications called NSAIDs, which is your non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drug. So that's like your aspirin, your Aleve, Naprosyn, Mobic, ibuprofen, all your ibuprofens. Those are all NSAIDs. They decrease the production of the mucus lining in the stomach, so it predisposes you to stomach ulcers.
Then do some liver damage too, or kidney damage, like the ibuprofen.
They're excreted by, metabolized and excreted by the kidneys, so you can end up getting some renal issues with them with long term use as well too. So anyway, aspirin has this whole wonderful list of side effects and potential adverse effects, and most people tend to think of aspirin as this very benign drug. So any drug can have these side effects. I mean, you just Google that. Google adverse effects of marijuana. And read me off that list.
Keep talking.
I doubt it'll be get fat from the munchies is the only one that they list. I mean, there'll be a handful of things that they'll list. So anything's going to have those potential adverse effects. And I think that's something you got to keep in mind. So I'm giving you like a half an hour answer to another, to a 1 minute question, which is usually how this podcast works between you and me. But
it doesn't, you know, it really doesn't say. It says heart disease, marijuana may cause a fast heartbeat and high blood pressure, might also increase the risk of having a heart attack. A weakened immune system. Certain chemicals in marijuana can weaken the immune system. This might make it more difficult for the body to fight infections. Allergies to fruits and vegetables. Marijuana might increase the risk of an allergic reaction with people with allergies to foods like tomatoes, bananas, and citrus fruit. Depression. Marijuana use, especially frequent use, might make symptoms of depression worse. I can see that. I've known people who smoke pot because they're depressed, and it doesn't help them by any means. Multiple sclerosis. Taking marijuana by mouth might make symptoms of multiple sclerosis worse.
There you go.
Schizophrenia. I've never heard of schizophrenia with marijuana.
But I think that's a potential with a lot of mind-altering drugs. So it's, well, anyway, you just rattled off actually a pretty impressive list of potential adverse effects
Reading that, I'd rather do that than Chantix. It didn't say suicidal thoughts in there. It didn't say night terrors.
No, that's probably true. Nobody's died from night terrors, though.
No, but
unless they die in their dream, then you die. Freddy Krueger.
There you go. How much will sports, as the narrative keeps going, how much will sports, including football, most importantly football, play an important part of this as more high profile names people know come out and say, listen, my brain's beat up. I got a headache. The only thing that solves this is me smoking some weed or doing a vaporizer or something. How much do you think sports will play an important part?
Well, I think it would, because everything does kind of mirror society to a degree.
Yeah.
I think the larger issue is going to be as more and more states do. It's kind of a, where are you going to end up on what side of history are you going to end up on? And I think as more and more states legalize it, and we see that there, and if we see there's not a lot of long-term adverse effects, and when I say long-term, even over the 3 to 5 years. When did Colorado legalize? It was about three years ago?
Three, 4 years ago, yeah.
Yeah. I think as you start seeing, when you don't see the downfall of society, when you don't see the fall of Rome here, I think that's when you're going to start seeing more and more some of these conservative states that do legalize it. Like I said, I think there is a subset of people for whom this could be a very, very effective treatment. And so I do think legalizing marijuana definitely needs to be explored, and I think people could be helped by this.
Now, where I do call bullshit sometimes, and maybe I'm wrong, and you tell me if I'm wrong. So on Facebook, former Congressman Brad Ashford said, hey, I respect Coach Osborne, like Coach Osborne, disagree with him on this. There are tens of thousands of people in Nebraska who need this. Is that an accurate number? Tens of thousands?
Ashford said tens of thousands.
Yeah.
Oh,
tens of thousands.
You only got 1.7 million. There's not a lot of people in Nebraska. That's
why I was like, okay, I don't dispute the people, but I don't like it when numbers are inflated to make a point.
Yeah, I think there's probably thousands that could be helped by this. I don't know about 10.
But they said with cancer patients, with seizures, chronic pain,
Not every seizure sufferer needs or wants this. Not every chronic pain patient needs or wants this.
That's why I thought tens of thousands is an inflated number.
That might be a little inflated. Yeah. And again, doesn't mean Brad Ashford doesn't have the best interests of the state of Nebraska at heart. So, I mean, as much as you can sit here and say, hey, I disagree with former Congressman Osborne for speaking his mind on this. I may disagree with him. I can look at former Congressman Brad Ashford and respectfully disagree with him, too. It doesn't mean neither one of them didn't have the best interests of the state at heart. You know, you ask, why doesn't this happen? And, I mean, I talked a little bit about the medical side of it, the concerns. There are some side effects with it, and I think it's something that, while it should be, it is something that I think should be approached, investigated, and potentially implemented. It needs to be done cautiously, and people need to have an understanding of those side effects. Now, why is that apprehension amongst a number of politicians and physicians? Marijuana, along with a lot of other drugs, I mean, for years and years and years and years, marijuana existed solely as a street drug. I mean, it wasn't until maybe the last... I think there was a lot of people out there who were very quietly, oh my God, my back pain goes away when I smoke marijuana. Oh my God, my headaches go away when I smoke marijuana. Oh my God,
how much is that a placebo effect?
Oh.
I mean, if somebody tells you, man, smoke some weed, your headache go away, because you want it to work so bad. I mean, placebos do work, right?
I mean, it does. I think there's probably some effect, but... I'd be willing to bet marijuana works pretty well, because I think a lot of depressants do work well for a certain number of ailments.
Yeah.
But it's been cast in a horrible light.
It has been.
From a media standpoint, a cultural... You kind of had two cultural aspects here. You sort of had the youth rebellion culture, and you have the... You have the adult establishment culture, and that adult establishment culture for years has cast marijuana as it's a street drug.
Hippies of the 60s ruined it for everybody.
Yeah, it's a stoner drug. There's that cultural viewpoint about it that I think makes people very leery of it.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, alcohol's never had that remotely as much as, well, non-alcohol. I mean, keep in mind, within the scope of things, it's only been fairly recently that smoking cigarettes really has been cast in a really bad light. I mean, everybody going back to the 1960s got shown in elementary school, here's a picture of your lungs if you're a smoker, and they're brownish black. And here's a picture of lungs of a non-smoker, and they're all nice and clean and pink. And it's not like we weren't being taught that smoking's bad, but it wasn't until 20 years ago that all of a sudden people are like, hey, how about a really big class action lawsuit against the tobacco companies? And then very soon after... You know, we joke about it now. I mean, I walk into an airport where there's a smoking lounge, and you're like, oh, my God, I almost forgot what it smelled like.
Atlanta, I was walking through the Atlanta airport in December. I'm like, there's a smoking lounge in here. And it's like, oh, that's just disgusting.
Yeah. Remember when restaurants had a smoking section?
And I was on the wrong side of history. I remember when I did For What It's Worth at Channel 3?
Yeah.
I took the side of the smokers.
Yeah,
I did. I took the side of, and I was on the wrong side of history.
I go to a restaurant now in a city that once in a while you still stumble on a city that doesn't have that type of smoking ordinance. You go to a restaurant, and you walk in, and you're like, "Oh my God, they smoke! The smoking's allowed."
And
in
I bet
here.
You leave right away too, don't you?
Yeah, you're like, "Screw this shit."
I remember my wife and I, we were in Prague of the Czech Republic. And
God, in Europe, you can still smoke in airports, can't you?
No, it's
maybe not anymore.
No, not as there's some smoking lounges, but you can't smoke. Even in we were in Italy in December, and they smoke like fiends in Italy, but you can't smoke in public places anymore. But in Prague, and I've heard they cracked down. But I remember going to this restaurant. Highly recommend. We walk in, just billowing with smoke. Like, damn it, we gotta leave.
Everybody smoke, and that's it is. But I mean, think about the cultural shift in our country over the last 20 years.
Yeah,
with smoking, and it's now it's for me to walk into a building, walk into a public place, like and smell cigarette smoke is always mind blowing to me, because it's amazing how fast you get used to it not being around. So there's, anyway, that cultural stigma that surrounds substances of abuse. Cigarettes, that's a substance of abuse. Alcohol, that's a substance of abuse. These are, there's so much culture that surrounds it, and cigarettes are a great example of one where you saw widespread acceptance.
Oh yeah.
Despite knowing exactly how bad it was, and it's only very recently within our lifetimes that cultural shift has done a complete about face. And we're seeing that cultural shift now with marijuana, but you got to understand that cultural shifts happen with time, can be a little bit painful, and it's hard to do. But you're seeing, with marijuana, you're seeing people are trying to change that culture, and it's not easy to do.
Let's shift gears a little bit as we hang up the pot talk. So basically the moral of the story is go smoke pot if you got pain. I mean, who cares? It'll be legal sooner or later because it'll be legal, Rob, because there's money to be made. Not millions, billions to be made.
When the people in power realize how to make money off of this, Katie, bar the door.
Yeah,
that puppy's getting legalized quick.
Huskers lost a rush in. As
TCU.
Dylan Jordan out of Pittsburgh, Kansas, commits to TCU. TCU had a really good recruiting class. They got the quarterback out of Council Bluffs.
Yeah.
They get this Jordan kid. What's the appeal there? Is it weather? Is it the campus? Is it Dallas? What do you think the appeal to TCU over Nebraska is?
I think that was I heard his mom was pretty she was pretty high on TCU. And I don't know if he had any other family down there. Where in Kansas is Pittsburgh?
So it's down by Joplin. So okay. if you go clear down on the
that kind of southeastern part of the state.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Southwestern part.
Part. Yeah. I don't know. I had heard that that there were some family ties to Texas, and his mom really kind of wanted him to go there. I heard he liked Nebraska. Quite frankly, from a defensive scheme standpoint, I think he would have fit in better at Nebraska, and I think it would have been maybe an overall better fit for him. And I say that in the sense that I think the position he would have played at Nebraska would have been kind of that strong side outside linebackers where I believe they had him slotted. And that's sort of a little bit of do everything. You're rush the passer, you're run stopping, you're covering, you're doing some pass coverage, get a little bit of everything. TCU runs kind of this weird, it's like a 4-2 nickel type package all the time. Basically, they run like this 100% nickel, and then they've got a guy who's more of a hybrid linebacker safety position, and I think that's kind of what they're going to have him playing. But he's going to be more of a middle of the field kind of guy. There's going to be a lot less of the on the line, not so much, going to have a lot less of that pure pass rusher stuff. And I don't know, it'll be interesting to see how he fit in, but obviously he felt like that was going to be a pretty good, a better fit for him. But like I said, the word on the street is there's a lot of family pressure there to go to TCU.
So who are you rooting for in the Super Bowl? You rooting for Rex Burkhead of the Patriots? You rooting for Ndamukong Suh in the Rams, or Lincoln's own Greg Zuerlein in the Rams?
Lincoln Pius, baby.
Went to UNO until they dropped football and had to end up at Missouri Western.
Man, I got just no dog in this fight. I'm a Giants fan.
So then you got to root for the NFC then, right?
Yeah, generally you would think it that way. I have never been a Rams fan.
Neither have I.
And it's not – now, don't get me wrong here. I don't like the Patriots. I know they're sort of like the evil empire. They're like the New York Yankees of the NFL. I've always respected what they did. Now, one, don't get me – well, they're a bunch of cheaters. Now, everybody in the NFL does what the Patriots does. When it comes to the listening in and trying to get an edge and letting a little air out of the balls, etc., everybody does that. When you're the Patriots, that spotlight's always on you. So when you get nailed, it kind of highlights it. I have a massive amount of respect for what they do. Alabama. I'm not a Crimson Tide fan, but I don't hate Nick Saban. I don't hate Alabama. Would I like to see somebody? Was I glad that Clemson won? Yeah, absolutely. I want to see somebody different. Not that Clemson's that much different at this point, but I have a huge amount of respect for these teams that kind of figure the formula out and are able to replicate it over an extended period of time, because it's hugely difficult to do over a period of time. There are so few true dynasties because it's hard to do. I mean, when you look at what the Patriots have done, it's absolutely mind-blowing. And there's been really only a couple of constants. I mean, it's been Belichick and Brady. The same ownership, a lot of the same GMs, a lot of other guys on that coaching staff.
It's impressive that it didn't blow up the way the Cowboys did with Jerry Jones and Jimmy Johnson.
I mean, but keep in mind, I think Robert Kraft is far more hands-off than Jerry Jones.
You're absolutely right.
I think Robert Kraft, I think he pulls some strings, makes some decisions, says do this, do that. But I think about 75% of the time he's letting his GMs and coaches run the show with a little bit of input from them. I think those numbers are flip-flop. I think Jerry Jones is pulling the strings, making decisions 75% of the time, and the coaches and the other managers are adding about a 25% input there. So it's that's an apples to oranges one there, I think.
So all the Husker assistants offered new contract extensions. All are expected to take it. Surprised that nobody left?
I think the fact that they've only been there for 1 year, no, it doesn't surprise me. There are a few guys on that staff who I think are some really, really talented young coaches who I think at some point are going to end up getting hired away to be coordinator somewhere.
I tell you where he's getting off cheap. Zach Duvall making $375. That's going to have to change. Strength and conditioning coaches.
Keep in mind, though, you're comparing Doyle at Iowa. Yeah. Doyle's the one who I think you look at him, I think is the guy. That's a little bit of a warped comparison there, because we look at Doyle, who I believe is the highest paid strength coach in the country.
I think the one in Alabama might be more now.
Might be, but Doyle's top three.
Yeah, he is top three. I believe Doyle's the second highest paid on the staff. He goes Ferentz, then Doyle.
Wow. I will say this. There are days I sit around and think to myself, I should have been a strength coach.
A lot easier than being a doctor, right?
That, because these guys are trying to do this with literally, I mean, you got 150 guys.
Yeah.
I got to deal with a few patients at a time in terms of keeping an eye on people, keeping them safe, managing them.
Keeping them alive.
A lot of paperwork when you mess that one up. These guys have 100. These guys have 150 guys they got to deal with in this regard, and to be those guys that are making those big six-figure salaries, the $300,000-$400,000 a year strength coaches, you better have some results. Like, remember, I mean, Mark, former D coordinator under Riley,
Banker.
When Mark Banker talked about, yeah, I bet Iowa's practices are bloodbaths. And when Scott Frost says, yeah, when you see Iowa in person, it's surprising how big and physically developed they are. When you get opposing coaches saying those things, you know you're doing something right from a strength and conditioning standpoint. And if you're going to make $300,000-$500,000 a year, you better have opposing coaches saying those kind of things. So that's not a low-stress job.
He's Dr. Rob Zadiska. We covered a lot today.
We covered a lot of ground.
Did anybody hear any Bill Moose rumors? Anyone? Anyone hear any Bill Moose rumors? Okay, maybe it's just a figment of my imagination. He's Dr. Rob Zadiska. I'm Travis Justice. Make sure to frequent our sponsors. That would be the Remington Trophy. So go to RemingtonTrophy.com. Go to the Infusion Brewing Company, two locations, Husker Hounds at huskerhounds.com, and our good friends at Ticket Express at ticketexpress.com, where no event is ever sold out. Rob, are we going to come back in February? Should we do another one next month?
We should. We got to cover the whole Dana Olsen thing.
Oh, the Tim Miles rumors, too.
Yeah.
There's Bill Moose rumors. There's Tim Miles rumors.
Yeah, there's a lot of rumors.
There's a lot of rumors.
They say a lot of things, bro.
Yes, they do, don't they? But they're just rumors to this point. Just rumors. Until next time, which will probably be in the month of February, he's Dr. Rob Zadiska. I'm Travis Justice. Talk to you next time on the Husker Doc Talk podcast, presented by the Remington Trophy.